You're listening to the SDC Foundations podcast. This year, we're looking at the early church through the book of Acts and Paul's letters. An opportunity Monday to Friday to worship and pray as we reflect on a thought from the Bible.
Welcome to Monday's podcast. My name's Tom Finnemore, and I'm part of the team here at STC. And I'll be taking us through this week's podcasts. If you're joining as part of the STC Lent Project and this is your first time, a very special hello to you and welcome. If you enjoy them and they're helpful, please pass them on to a friend, and there's going to be a prize for the person who shares the most podcasts. More about that later in the week. Our reading today is Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 to 18, but I'm going to focus on verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. A thought for the day. We're now coming to the very end of St. Paul's letter to the Colossian church. These are his final words and final greetings. On Friday, my colleague Liam spoke about prayer from Colossians 4, 2. And today I want to continue in that theme, thinking about prayer, specifically what it means to wrestle in prayer. I read a story about wrestling in prayer recently. I want to share that now. In November 1949, two elderly sisters, one of them blind, one aged 84 and the other 82, shared a deep concern. Not a single young person attended their local church. They felt so stirred, so moved, that they began to pray. Their prayer meetings started at 10 o'clock at night and finished at 3 or 4 a.m. Both sisters on their knees, calling out to God. During one of the prayer meetings, one of the sisters had a vision. It was of the local church packed full of young people and a person she didn't recognise standing in the pulpit. She dutifully shared this with her local minister, and he and all his elders began to pray too. And those prayer meetings lasted for about 6 weeks. What happened after these 6 weeks has become known as the Hebridean Revival on the very small island of Isle of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides. Well, 6 weeks after one of the elderly ladies had had a vision, a man called Duncan Campbell had travelled from Edinburgh, made his way on a steamer to the island. He got off the boat and thought he was going to be heading to his accommodation with a local minister, but instead he was taken to the local church, a particular church that one of the sisters had a vision of, where he preached a very short, simple message, and in his own words, God did the rest. The church was packed with 300 people, mainly young people, many kneeling, singing, but most turning their lives to Jesus. As he walked outside, a further 600 people were worshipping and kneeling in the churchyard. That's just one of the many things that happened across that island at that time. Campbell said it was like nothing he'd seen before. It was a powerful move of God. Now, when people began to credit him for, quote, bringing the revival, he challenged them. And he said it started when two elderly sisters decided to do something. They chose to pray. And not only did they choose to pray, they chose to wrestle with God in prayer. I love that story. It inspires and challenges me in equal measure. So I ask myself today, what would it look like for a move of God like that in Sheffield? It's happened before in the evangelical revival. What would it look like for the local pubs to empty and people to flock to church all times of the night, calling out to God? What about our universities? And what I particularly love about that story of the Hebridean Revival, it was two elderly ladies who said enough's enough and began to pray. When we look at the world, what stirs us? Is it human trafficking? Is it mental health? Is it teenagers, students? Is it loneliness among the elderly? Is it family breakdown? What is it? We're told in Paul's closing remarks that a man called Epaphras was always wrestling in prayer for the Colossian church. Why? Well, firstly, he's adopted a, a certain style of prayer, a Jewish style of prayer, although he isn't Jewish. He's a Gentile. But it's where he is wrestling with God. He is continuing to pray to God about the same thing, passionately. And it's where we get our understanding, where Christians get their understanding, what intercession is. In other words, he is petitioning God in prayer. He could well be standing, Jewish people often stood to pray, looking to heaven, calling out to his heavenly Father to intervene in this situation. As the founding pastor of the Colossian church, his heart must be so moved to know that his beloved people are being pulled left and right by different teaching that is unhelpful, robbing them of the freedom that the gospel of Jesus has born. In the midst of the battle, he's standing and he's praying to God for a breakthrough. What challenges me personally is, if I'm honest, there are things that I see and I just accept as being part of the world around us. You know, for example, a declining church. But I've challenged myself, actually. You'll be pleasantly surprised. As I've written this podcast and I've wrestled with this podcast myself, because I know that there are things that I need to be wrestling with God, with the Lord, and sometimes I'm not. So this week, why not with me take time and ask the Lord, what are you calling me to pray for? And let's start wrestling. Let's maybe forego an evening of Netflix or get up that little bit earlier to continue to pray for that person, to pray for that situation that really needs some kind of heavenly change in it. So my prayer today is, Lord, wake me up. Stir me, Lord. Stir me out of my comfort to pray. So this week, let's commit to praying in situations that only God can intervene. And let's this week see what it is that God teaches us. And let's see this week what God does. Let me pray for us now. Lord, we know that you call us to pray. I know that you call me to pray. Lord, it's a great gift. It's also hard. So Jesus, I pray that you will teach me to pray, that you'll teach every person who's listening to pray. And Lord, we'll wrestle with you this week. That you call us to be wrestlers for you, that we might see some phenomenal breakthroughs. And you, Lord, will get all the glory. Amen. Colossians 4, verses 10 to 18. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends his greetings. There are only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he's working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and to the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see to it that he's also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and then you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.